Hey, thank you guys so much. Let's give it up for everyone that made it out in the snow today. We appreciate it. Real quick, thank you for coming out. I do want you to help me real fast. I think we were in the live stream. Someone do this just in case. Can we welcome everyone on the live stream right now too, watching, who couldn't make it. They work really hard. We have a live stream that happens exactly the same time. That's why it's live, obviously. And at that moment, I just want to let you guys know that we do it for people who can't make it, meaning, you know, sickness or, you know, with the roads and stuff like that. But if you are just tired because you want to stay out a little late, it says do not neglect the gathering of the church, of the people. So we do that, and we're glad that people are listening, but we're also glad that you guys made it out here this morning as well. So I'm grateful to be starting a brand new series this week. If you came out for the first time, my name is Sean Jensen. I am the lead pastor here at Authentic Church, and there is my name right there, S-H-A-W-N, spelled the right way. So, any S-E-A-Ns in there? All right, anyways, we are starting a brand new series called 1-800-273-8255, and really that's the suicide hotline number. And in February, there's a lot of love in the air, right? Come it's February, Valentine's Day's next week, but going through high school, I've realized that there's a lot of churches that are doing great, amazing things. We are a part of them, and this is not a bash towards any church. Don't hear this the wrong way. In this season, a lot of people talked about love and relationships, so much so that last year in February, we did a series called Waiting, Dating, and Mating. You missed it. It was amazing. Yeah, we did. Waiting, Dating, and Mating. It was hilarious. It was awesome. But we decided to flip the script this year because as a pastor, my job is to shepherd the flock. When he says that, what he means is shepherd the people God has entrusted with me, and that's our church. And so as we prayed, we thought that this would be a very good time, especially in our culture today, that we would talk about this thing called depression, because depression is killing dreams and it's killing purposes, and we're not going to do it on this church's watch. And so we want to talk about it. We want to get down into it. And I want to say this real fast before, this is just a precursor before I get into it. I am not Dr. Phil. I'm not Dr. Phil. I worked all week on his voice. I still can't do it. But I'm not Dr. Phil. My goal is not to be Dr. Phil. I'm not going to give you a three-step process how you can overcome your addiction. That's not my goal. My goal is to shed light on depression. And what light is God's word. I believe it is alive. I believe it is active. And I truly believe that Jesus rose from the grave, which means he can kick depression out as well. And so I believe that firmly. So if you're here and don't believe that, we're still glad you came. I'm glad that you came. If you believe or don't believe, you can belong before you believe. But we're going to talk about how I believe in my life dealing with depression, how I have seen God's word infiltrate my life and set me free from depression and what I have faced. And not just me, other people as well. So that is my goal, is to shed light on that. And I promise you, if you put these tools into practice, you will see a change in your life. And we know it takes time. But we know that God is bigger than our depression, and he can take care of it. So we're going to jump on in. It's going to be in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19. Use the table of contents. I still do. Use them. This is a church you can use the table of contents, or if you're using your YouVersion app, just put 1 Kings 19. But we're going to throw it on the screen for you. And before I read, I want to tell you what's happening. In this story we're about to read is this dude named Elijah. Elijah was a prophet called by God. In this time, God would use prophets to get God's people, the Israelites, back on track. So he'd be like, the Israelites are rebelling again. I'm going to send a prophet to be my voice. He's going to go and he's going to tear down idols that they're following, and we are going to turn their direction back to God so God gets the glory. So Elijah was called by God at this moment, and a lot of things happened during Elijah's life, and I'm not going to get into all of them, but right before 1 Kings 19 and 1 Kings 18, which you can read this week, there was this biblical thing called the Showdown on the Mountain. Now, if you've been in church, you've probably heard about it. If not, we're going to tell you about it. The prophet Elijah was used by God to actually take out 450 prophets of Baal. I know there's a lot of prophet talk. Let me explain this. Prophets of Baal were prophets just like Elijah, except with false gods. And at this time, the people of Israel, and at this time, were worshiping this false god named Baal. Baal was the agricultural god, which means at this time, he was like the big thing. They worshiped this god that produced rain, that produced like the weather, the agriculture, all the grain to grow, all these things, which was money, which was health. That was the currency back then. So Baal was like a big deal. And so God said, they're worshiping Baal. I need you to turn their... Did my mic just go off? Yeah.
Check, 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 check. Check, 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 check.
Number two. That's right. I'm getting rid of this now. So I forgot where I was. Let's give it up for our team who doesn't quit. As I awkwardly take this out. So you're going to watch me untangle this and... No, take this. Don't pull that yet. That would be bad. There you go. Now pull. Pull. Oh, it's kidding. All right. Sorry about that. You know what I've realized? That when we have technical difficulties, the devil's scared. So we're just going to push through. Get back in. Here we go. So on the mountain, the prophet of Baal, they were worshiping Baal and God sends Elijah. So on this mountain, he steps up to King Ahab and all the prophets and he says, I have a deal for you. Let's build an altar on this mountain. And after it's built, you're going to call down Baal to light this fire. You're going to scream out to your God. You're going to cry out to him. You're going to do whatever it takes. And we're going to see what happens. And when you're done, I'm going to go and call down fire from my God, the God of Israel, the God we worship, the one who sent Jesus. And then we will see whose God is really alive. You notice how Elijah went second. Like he knew, like this is going to be awesome. So they start crying out all night. They're dancing. They're dancing. They're crying out to Baal, like, Baal, show up. Baal, show up. They are like mutilating themselves, cutting themselves, doing these crazy things in scripture to get their God. And people are like, that's messed up. What do we do for our gods? But anyways, they do all these things and all of a sudden nothing happens. And Elijah goes and he's trolling them. He says, where's your God at? This is scripture. He says, did he go to the bathroom? You think I'm kidding? It says in there, did he go to relieve himself? Scripture, guys, don't judge me. He says, is he relieving himself? And then all of a sudden he goes, it's my turn. And so he steps up. He says, before I go, drench the altar with water. Remember, they're in the time of a drought right now. So this is a big deal. Drench, drench, drench. There was a moat of water. Elijah steps up and goes, hey, God, can you show these people that you are still the true God? Fire comes down, licks up the water, and boom, right there. And then all of a sudden, he goes, 450 prophets of Baal, he sends them off to be murdered. Takes them out like that. That's Elijah. That's who we're about to talk about. This is the person we're going to talk about when it comes to depression. You're like, why would we talk about him? Look at what happens right after this victory. Literally, the next verse. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. She's like, hey, honey, how was work? He's like, oh, all my people died, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. This just went south. He said, I pray that I might die. I have had enough. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Now he is crying out for his life to be taken. He is depressed. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones, the first ever angel food cake, and jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Don't judge me. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? In this moment, God speaks to him and puts purpose back into him and gets him back on the right track. But if you look at scripture, we realize that on the mountain is when God showed up. And on the mountain is where God took him. But what we're taking place is in the valley. Depression in the valley. He was at mountaintops. Can I tell you something? In between two mountaintop experiences is always the valley. There's always a valley in between two mountains. And it's often after our mountaintop experiences where we face depression. And he finds himself in the middle of depression. And before I pray, this is what I want you to relax with. Because you're at a church and you say, I deal with depression. I'm so ashamed of myself. The prophet Elijah dealt with depression. and God met him in his valley of depression and got him out. You are at the right place. You are not here by accident. You can still be used by God. You have a purpose. So if you're dealing with depression, welcome. We're going to talk about it. And the name of this message today is this: Leaving the Valley of Depression. Leaving the Valley of Depression. Today, I just believe that God's going to lead us out of some of these depressing things that we are facing in our life. Lord, I pray right now that your purpose would speak, that your spirit would work. Lord, the enemy's already tried with the mics not working, with things not working. He is a punk because, Lord, it doesn't matter. As long as we have a voice in our mouth and your words in our heart, things will rise, Father God. Depression will fall. And I pray right now that we declare freedom in this place, Father. I pray depression has to leave. It says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will leave. I pray no weapon formed against us will prosper, Father. That today we are finding freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. I love paintballing. Anybody else love paintballing? Anybody ever been paintballing? Who's been paintballing and now you hate paintballing? Like, that's usually what happens. In between experiences, one of the guys was in the first. He said, did you ever play GoldenEye on Nintendo 64? I was like, yeah. He's like, was your favorite character Oddjob? Oddjob was the shortest character. And he looked at me and goes, that's why you were so good at paintball. Because no one could hit you. I was like, good point. And I love it. So I love paintball. And so there's something about paintball. I don't know why. It's just the thrill. I love video games. I love war movies and action movies. So being in a paintball field with other people, I feel like I'm living out my dream. Like, I am now Rambo, Bruce Willis, whoever you want to say is the most important. Like, I'm John Wick. Like, all of a sudden, I'm Keanu Reeves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on the paintball field. Nothing else matters. Like, I know it's paint, but in my eyes, I'm like, I'm taking them out, right? I love the paintball field. And I'm like that person, like, you know, those people show up and they were like coats and under, they were like vests and coats and jackets and all this. And like, wimp, like, right? Like I'm like there. Guys, I'm telling you, when I go paintballing, I feel like Rambo. Like, I get like the, you know, like the bandana on and I'm just walking through there like Sylvester Stallone, Adrian, you know, like I'm doing whatever I can. And the thing about paintballing is like the word pain is in paintballing, right? Like, we know it hurts. Like, but when I'm on that field, guys, everything, I don't care. It's adrenaline. I love it. I love it. And it hurts. It breaks skin. It bruises. And I just love being out there. I feel like Rocky. I feel like Rambo. I feel like all of them. But when I go to a doctor's office and I have to get a shot, I turn into a 2-year-old girl. Anybody else? Like, give me pain. Do not give me a shot, please. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to the paintball field. Mom, don't take me to the doctor's office. Anybody terrified of needles? I hate needles. Like, I am terrified. And I look at this story, and it's like Elijah, right? 450 prophets of Baal on the mountain and fire. And he's like doing amazing things. And then all of a sudden, Lady's like, I'm going to kill you. He's like, gone. Like, it's just like, is this Elijah, the same guy? Like, first off, who's Jezebel, right? Like, this lady has, don't point at your wife. That's not nice. Anyway, but I thought about that, and I was like, with depression and with paintball, it's like, in this story, it's like, what would make him go to that extent? He was on the mountaintop, and he ended up in the valley. And if we were honest, guys, it brings me so much hope knowing that even the prophet Elijah, even though he had mountain experiences, he still found himself in the valley sometimes. And if you are in the valley right now, I want to let you know, stop shaming yourself. Because even the prophet ran away, but God got him back on track. And that's what he's going to do today for some of you. He's going to lead you out of the valley of depression. But if you find yourself there, I'm going to talk about a few things that maybe got you there and how you can get out. And the first thing is this: if we want to leave the valley of depression, we have got to stop listening to the lies. Stop listening to the lies. See, in this story, it said that Ahab told Jezebel what happened, and the first thing she did is she sent a messenger to tell Elijah. First off, she sent a messenger, meaning it was a threat. Because if she really wanted to kill him, she would have went and told him himself. But here's the thing about the enemy. He can't touch us, but he can threat us. And she sent a threat and said, by this time tomorrow, your life will be over. And he fled for his life. You see, he began to trust in Jezebel's promise over his God's promise. And how many times do we do that? You see, in the story, the enemy wants you to be afraid. as I've been studying, I realized that anxiety is usually the first step towards depression. You look throughout articles, secular and Christian, you look through them, anxiety is oftentimes tied with depression. It started with depression. And anxiety, what that is, what fear is years of believing the lies. Fear is believing a lie. God's not going to show up. Something bad's going to happen to my kids. God's not faithful. What's going to happen? See, where we worry the most is where we trust God the least. And so when we are fearing, what we're doing is we're believing the lies the enemy's putting in our head. King Ahab told Jezebel. Jezebel told Elijah, and he fled. And here's the truth. If the enemy is trying to get you to be fearful, it's because he's feared of you. If he's trying to put fear in you, it's because you scare him for some reason. He's scared that you're just going to catch your purpose today. He's scared that you're just going to get out of the valley of depression today, because he knows if you do, there's a whole bunch of people who are about to find Jesus because you're free in Christ. And so he tries to put fear in you, and he intimidates you. But here's the truth. He can't touch you. We give the devil way too much credit. The devil made me do it. No, you listened, and you did it. The devil made me do it. Last time I checked, Jesus said these words. It is finished. You know what that meant? The works of Satan are done. So that means that if God's saying, I have peace for you, I have joy for you, I have love for you, I have self-control for you, I have already purchased these things, I have already given them to you, we're not fighting to win battles anymore. We already have everything in Christ. Now, why do we fight? To occupy what the enemy's trying to take from us. Jericho, Joshua, I'm giving you that land. There's walls around it and there's people in there, but it's yours. Don't fight for victory. I've already given you the victory. Fight to occupy it back. In the story, Elijah left, and their purpose at that moment, Elijah fled from where God had him, and this is where it starts. This is where depression starts. The enemy will intimidate you when God's asking you to step out. When God says, I want you to stay here, I want you to go there, I want you to do this, the enemy will put fear in your heart and fear in your mind. He'll begin to speak lies to you. You're worthless. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not short enough. You're not smart enough. And what do? We believe it. And when we believe it, we run from our calling. Elijah believed the threat. And what happened is he trusted in Jezebel more than he trusted in God. But today, I want to encourage you that you would stop listening to the lies of the enemy. It says this. It says in John 8:44, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He's talking to the Pharisees right now, by the way, Jesus. Could you imagine that? Jesus comes up to you and says, you're the children of the father, the devil. Your dad is Satan. Like, ouch, Jesus. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when the enemy says something in your mind, before you believe it, line it up with the truth. Take every thought captive, Paul says, and line it up unto the obedience of God's word. What does that mean, Sean? It means whatever comes into this mind, good or bad, you take it and you set it down and you interrogate it. You know what they do when people are suspicious on flights? They put them in a room and they interrogate them and say, why are you here? What are you doing? What is your purpose? And what happens is we allow things in our mind to get to our heart because we don't interrogate them. Why are you here? What is your purpose? Why are you saying I'm worthless? That's not what God's word says. Can I tell you how you can find out the lies of the enemy? By knowing the truth of God's word. The truth always exposes the lies that the enemy tries to put in your head. You got to get in the word. You got to know it. And we interrogate him. It says, take it captive. Don't believe it. You're not worthless. God's word says that he paid a high price. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. You're not worthless. You see, I looked throughout these stories, and the thing about suicide, as we talk about depression and suicide, because we're getting there, is I've often heard suicidal people with suicidal tendencies or that have talking to family members. A lot of things on the notes or things they've said is they literally got to the point where it's like, what is my life even worth? No one even likes me. I have no purpose. No one will miss me. The earth will go on. And it will, but not with that purpose. And they believe the lies. And the enemy wants you to believe a lie. So when this happens, he is now taking you out of what God is wanting you to be in. And that's what breaks my heart when we talk about suicide, is we have people who believe these things, and now we have social media. You know why our depression's on an all-time high? Social media. Why? Because you believe the lie that their life is better than yours. You see, right? You see the pictures, the people who post 15 times a day how amazing their kids are? I told Liz, I was like, babe, from now on, we should just post videos of our kids snotting up snot, poop everywhere, screaming, yelling. Because the truth is, we scroll on Facebook, gosh, their marriage is perfect. Their kids are great. Oh, they always look so good. Oh, what? I'm in my sweats right now, and my hair's like this. Yeah, they're not going to take pictures of that. But what you've gotten to believe is that everyone else's life is awesome because of social media, and yours is miserable. But you're only seeing the highlight reel. You're not seeing the behind the scenes. There's a lot of broken people who are hiding behind social media. It's an attention-seeking thing. Some of you need to get off the social media for a while and say, you know what? I'm tired of looking at everybody else's marriage. I'm tired of looking at everybody else's church. I'm going to start taking care of my marriage, my church, my kids. Stop comparing, because you'll get depressed every time. They're not showing you the whole story. They're not showing you the whole story. So don't believe the lies. The best way to combat the lies of the enemy is by knowing the truth of God's word. So Sean, when I hear threat and they're trying to intimidate me, take it captive. Find out what God truly says about it. The next thing is this: discover your purpose. Discover your purpose. See, Elijah was afraid, and at this time, he was called to be a prophet to Israel, and he was doing amazing things, and we still talk about Elijah. And here's the cool thing about Elijah. He never died. In Scripture, he was the one that got taken up to heaven in chariots of fire, which means that the threat that came from Jezebel, God just like, let me just prove my point a little bit more. Elijah didn't even die. He's still living. Like, that's going to be the first thing I do when I get up to heaven. Like, where's Elijah? I'm going to touch his face, poke his eye, like, whoop, yep, he's alive. He didn't die. He had a purpose, and God put him on this planet for a purpose. And so the best way that we can combat depression, you see, he began to go into depression. He fled because of fear. He believed the lies. And as he fled from the fear, what happened? He stepped out of his purpose. That's what the enemy does, guys. He brings fear and intimidates. Why? So we step out of the jobs, we step out of our families, we step out of our marriages, we step out of our churches, and if he can get us to step out, we won't fulfill the purpose God has for us. But not today, declares the name of the Lord. Today we will stand firm, we'll fight the good fight of faith, we'll remain confident, we will see the goodness of the Lord. We're not leaving. And when it gets hard, we're not leaving. We're not going to believe the lies. We have a purpose. And here's the thing about depression. I know it's a sensitive issue. And some people say, Sean, how can you even talk to me about this? Because I've been there. My parents took turns checking on me in my room to make sure I didn't hang myself. They would look. At the time, I didn't know. God's healed me from it, but I don't have chronic like some of you, but I've had a season being in the valley of depression. I was 145 pounds when it started, and I lost another 15 pounds because of it. I didn't even know I could lose any more weight, but I didn't eat. I was tired. I was exhausted. And in those moments, I was like, man, you know what? Why am I even here? I have no purpose. So I know what it's like to be where you are and to think that you have no purpose in this life. But I want to share with you today that you do have a purpose. I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to prove it, because I know it's hard to hear this sometimes. But it says this in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. My dad told me in between experiences, he says, think about it this way. We are pieces of the master. Way to go, Wade. We are pieces. We were made in the image of God. We are pieces of the master. He says, you, Paul says, you, everyone here, look at the person next to you, say masterpiece. Look at the person on the other side of you, say masterpiece. Pull out your selfie and say masterpiece. We don't have time for it, but do it later. For you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Listen, so we can do the good things, our good works he planned for us long ago. So here's what it says. You're a masterpiece, meaning, when you look at your life, God wants you to know this. You're pieces of the master. The masterpieces are things we see still to this day. They get the ropes around them. They are priceless. God says that's you. Let me push it a little bit further. Look at creation. You know what else God made? He made waterfalls. Waterfalls are so cool. He made these amazing landscapes. He made the mountains. In springtime, all the colors you see, all the smells you smell, he created it. He made it. The stars, the cosmos, the galaxies. Have you ever watched Interstellar? I know it's fake, but can you imagine? Just everything he created, he says, it's good. But then he made you and I and said, oh, there's my masterpiece. He made waterfalls, flowers, colors, sun, stars, powerful things. And when he made you and I, he said, now that, I'm going to take credit for that one. That's my masterpiece. If we are his masterpiece, then we must have a purpose. He doesn't make junk. I'm going to prove to some people today that you have a purpose. Sean, how can you prove it? Take two fingers like this. If you're comfortable, take two fingers like this and put it right about here. And wait till you feel a pulse. You feel a pulse? Anyone feel a pulse? Please tell me you feel a pulse. If you don't, we're going to call us. You feel a pulse? You feel it? You have a purpose. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. If he created you, you have a purpose. If your lungs are still breathing, you have a purpose. If your heart is still beating, you are put on this planet for some reason bigger than yourself. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. It's time to get back on track. You have a purpose. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Don't go back to your house today and not say you're a masterpiece. Sean, but people have spoken terrible things about me. It's okay. You are still a masterpiece. You are still a masterpiece. Don't worry what they said. Focus on what God says. And if you stay along this church long enough, listen to what other people say. Because they will speak life into you. And people who don't want to speak life into you, they're here for a reason too. They're growing in that area. Just let them be by themselves for a little bit. But find people who can speak life into you. But we have to find our purpose. Elijah left. And when he left his objective, the whole operation shut down. You see, guys, when we leave our objective, the operation God has for us in our life, it shuts down. Fathers, when fear comes in because you're trying to lead your family in the things of Christ, and you go to work and they start talking about it and you're fearful to talk about it and intimidation kicks in and you leave your purpose as a father, the operation of fatherhood stops. But when you say, you know what, I'm not going to let intimidation push me out, I do believe in Jesus. I am going to lead my kids. You know what? I may not be a perfect father, but I'm going to be a present father. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to explain to them the things of God. I'm not going to lose my objective. I have a purpose. Like, Sean, of course you have a purpose. You're a pastor. That's your purpose. Guys, that's my purpose, but can I tell you something? You guys are the real MVPs. You have to go back out there. I can hide in my office and pray all week. I don't do that. I still like go and do things like... But I guess what I'm trying to say is you go back out in culture. You guys have a bigger purpose than what you know. You see, God doesn't make junk. I think about this switch on this mic. There's this little switch that has a power button on it. And if I just hold this button in, I'm back. But this little switch wasn't built with the entire mic. It was probably manufactured in a different factory just by itself. And by itself, you can look at this little thing and think it's insignificant and has no point. I don't speak well. I'm not smart enough. Sean, do you know who I am? And we look at this little insignificant thing, and God says, if you would understand the purpose of that switch, that the very thing that you think is insignificant, you think your weakness is actually your uniqueness. And if you let me use it, I'll power on some things. Elijah left his purpose. I don't want you to leave your purpose anymore, because here's the truth, guys. When we leave our purpose, we can't function. And this is where depression sits in. As I was looking through articles this week, a lot of things I kept coming on, secular and Christian, was this word purpose in both of them. People who don't even believe in God's word and people who do believe in God's word said, if you want to battle depression in your life, you have to have purpose. You have to wake up with purpose. You have to go to bed with purpose. You have to live your life with purpose. And we all know that we're a masterpiece, so we have a purpose. But it says in Scripture that we are a masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ, Ephesians 2:10, if you can throw it back up there. So we can do the good things. In other Scripture, it says good works he planned for us long ago. What's my purpose? While you're finding it out, do good works for people. That's your purpose. We spend so much time trying to figure out our purpose that we literally let people just walk right in front of us who need Jesus. We let people like fall who need help. And we're like, what's my purpose, God? What's my purpose, God? He's like, to do good works. Can I tell you something? When you start doing good works, you stop thinking about yourself. And then you can battle depression, because depression, we focus on ourselves. And if we could find someone who needs help, and we do that, we begin to live in purpose. Elijah was living in purpose. Elijah was living in purpose, because the thing is if we aren't living our purpose, we can't function. Elijah left his purpose, and because he left his purpose, he felt like he had no function. I've talked to so many people right now, and my wife was one who dealt with this as well, who she didn't know what her calling was. She didn't know what her purpose was. And this black cloud was just in our house. It was following us. It was a dark season for us, because we were living for Christ and we loved God and we were pastoring and we were preaching and doing what we knew God asked us to do. But there was this thing hanging over us. And it stemmed from us leaving where God asked us to be at, because fear and intimidation. What would they say? What will they think? I stopped confronting issues. I stopped talking to people about things, because I was afraid. And when I stepped out of my purpose, depression tried to stick in. You see, I think of this charger. This charger's purpose is to charge this phone. And so if I plug this charger into the wall, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, by the way. I'm like, oh, really, Sean? The phone charger charges, what? I can't talk. Anyways, the purpose of this charger is to charge his phone. Now, that's part of it, but the only way that it can charge his phone is if it's in the power supply. So yes, its purpose is to charge its phone, but the real purpose is to take the power from the power supply to the phone. But as soon as you unplug it, you lose the power. And I want to tell you today that there's power in your purpose. And when the fear pushes away from your purpose, you can't function. You need to get your purpose back. You need to wake up saying, who can I help today? You need to go to bed writing down, who can I help tomorrow? You got to keep purpose in front of you. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but I'm saying if you live a life of purpose, you can battle depression in your life. Don't just take my word for it. You just got to start applying it. What's the best way you can do that? That's serve. I have a purpose this morning. I'm going to clear off the parking lot. I know I woke up depressed, but it's not about me. I have a purpose that's bigger than myself. I'm going to get my eyes off of me, and I'm going to get it on other people. And God begin to work that in your life. There is power and purpose. So discover your purpose. Elijah fled from his purpose. He got depressed, but God led him back to it at the end of this scripture. Third thing is this: don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Isolation, I'm telling you guys, depression eats isolation for breakfast. That's where it gets its energy from. I often find people who begin to, including me, who begin to isolate themselves are starting to slip into depression. It's happened in the scripture, right? He ran for his life. It says this in verse 3. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Can I tell you why I just giggled? I'm going to tell you why I just giggled. I saw the word Beersheba, and in my mind I said, dilly dilly. Anyways. Sorry, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Welcome to Authentic. I'm ADD. Verse 4, then he went on alone into the wilderness. What did Elijah do? He had a servant, and as he left his purpose, on his way to the wilderness, he dropped his servant off in the town and went alone into the wilderness. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Stop being a loner. I'm not talking about solitude. That's spending time with God in a quiet time, maybe for 30, 40 minutes or an hour, taking some time alone. I'm talking about isolation. I know, guys, I've been there. The reason why I isolate myself is because I don't want to bother people with my hurts. And so I get it. You're depressed and you don't want to hurt anybody else. You're actually caring about the person, and so you isolate yourself. Can I tell you something? We want you to talk to us about it. We want you to. You're not bothering us. And if you're bothering something, forget about them. Find someone you're not bothering. Don't isolate yourself. If you want to battle depression, you can't isolate yourself. Isolation makes a great football play, but it makes a terrible life play. Genesis, it says this in scripture, that when God created everything, he said this word 7 times, this phrase, it is good. Created heavens and earth, it is good. Created animals, it is good. Light, it is good. As he created, I counted, I went through it. He says, it is good. He created man,
it is very good. Seven times he says, it is good, a phrase. But there's one phrase, one time he says after this, and he says this phrase, it is not good. It is not good. So seven times he says, it is good. The last time he says, it is not good. This is what he was talking about when he said, it is not good. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good. It's not good. And then he made Eve a helpmate for man. Not from his foot bone, so you can't put your foot over top her, but from her rib, so you could stand alongside of her. He made a helpmate. And he says, it's not good to be alone. Throughout scripture, iron sharpens iron. Do not neglect the gathering of people. We need to come together in harmony and build each other up. Make allowance for each other's faults. Everything a part of our faith is always spoken to together. We can't do this alone. Elijah left everything and he went out alone. And it said at that moment, he said, I've had enough and there is no point. Take my life now. This is when depression hits. When people begin to isolate themselves, I'm here to warn you. If you're isolating yourself, do whatever you can to get back out. Do whatever you can to join something. Do not isolate yourself. And if you see a friend, or you hear someone, or you're looking and they're isolating themselves, text them, call them. Do whatever you have to do before breaking down their door to make sure they're not isolated. Don't do a B&E. But do as ever you can to make sure you let them know. No, you don't have to do this by yourself. I remember when I was going through my season and wanting to end everything. I remember this. And I'm going to say the same thing. But Drew and Rachel Rice, who are over here, Drew serves on the worship team. And Rachel was here Friday dancing the night away at Night to Shine, going crazy. And their kids serve as well. And when I was going through my season of depression, I mean, it was bad, guys. I would lay in bed. And I would get a text. It'd be Drew. It says, hey man, heading to Walmart to get some toilet paper. You want to go with? And after the first experience, he's like, can you tell him like we're going to go like mountain climbing in my Jeep or something? Cool, not like toilet paper. I was like, sorry man. But in those moments that Drew and Rachel invite him, hey, the pool's clean. You want to come swim? Hey, we're here for you. Hey, we're by your house. We're going to pick you up. Hey, you want to go see a movie? Hey, we're going to Walmart. You want to ride in the Jeep? Guys, it saved my life. You have no idea the purpose of getting into someone's situation. My parents were around all the time, and they felt helpless, but they have two friends come in and say, you know what? We're going to do whatever we can to make sure he's not by himself. And they did, and they were faithful to it. They didn't leave me high and dry. When I called or when I needed them, they were there. Don't open yourself up to someone's life if you're not going to be there at the end. But they were there. Don't isolate yourself. It is not good for man to be alone. It's not good. And I realized when we go with depression, here we go. I realized this in my life, that you can be around a whole crowd of people and still feel alone. Have you seen that? Have you been at a party and you're just there? I'm not talking about like just a crazy, I'm like maybe a birthday party. I don't care. There's just a lot of people and you feel alone. Just alone. I mean, look at Robin Williams. Alone. Jim Carrey has talked about his depression. Alone. And I've realized that just because you leave isolation and you are in a group of people, you can still be alone. So here's my challenge for you. Find someone you can trust and talk about your loneliness. That's scary. What if they judge me? No, no, no. Find someone you trust and tell them the thoughts you're having. See, the church has done really good at shaming people for coming open with this, but not our church. Because as soon as you shame people, they won't come to you anymore. Do you know why your kids probably don't talk to you about things? It's because you shame them every time they mess up. But if you say, hey, listen, there's consequences, here's some grace, but listen, we got to change this next time. We say, hey, you can open up to me about everything. If we're going to say that as a church, then let's not be shocked when someone says they want to take their life. Let's say, well, we're going to pray for you right now, and we're going to let you know that you have a bigger purpose than what you think right now. Open up. Don't isolate yourself. If you feel alone, it's time to get out of isolation. So not only do you stop believing the lies, not only do you need to discover purpose and stop isolating yourself. The last thing that happened to Elijah as he ventured on the way out of the valley of depression is you have to get up and you have to eat. Get up and eat. Get up and eat. It said this in scripture as he, and don't put your stuff away because the worship team is coming up, because this is the, listen, everything I said is pointless if you don't get this point. Everything I said will just be behavior modification without this point. It'll just be you trying to overcome depression in your own strength. This point is going to show you how to overcome depression with these tools in God's strength. Because we can't do it without him. That's the only way I've got to where I am is through God's strength, overcoming fear and anxiety and the things in my life. Get up and eat. The angel of the Lord said in verse 7, came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more. This is the second time, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights, listen, to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. It took 40 days and 40 nights. It took time to travel. He said, you got to eat because the trip will be too long for you. I'm here to tell you, as you begin to venture out of the valley of depression, you got to eat, or the travel is going to be too long for you. You see, when we go through depression, we stop. We stop everything. We have no motivation. We have no energy. This was my battle this week as I was praying for you, praying for me. Was I know that when you're depressed, you could care less what people say to you, right? Here's what you need to do to get out of depression. You're just like, oh my gosh, I've heard it all. But don't let that be today. Do whatever you have to do to fight again. And listen to these words, because the constant struggle is this. Sean, you're telling me what steps I need to take. But if you knew more about depression, you'd realize I have no motivation or energy to do anything you just said. You caught me. And so I have to speak towards that. He was no motivation, no lack. Yet God said, I want to bring you out of the valley. But before you get out, you have to get up, you have to eat, and you have to drink. I said that he made food for him, and there was a jar of water. He made bread. See, guys, there's a symbolism for that. Look at what Jesus says in John 6:35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus, get up. Eat the bread. The bread is a sign of Jesus. Jesus is the word become flesh, meaning get up. Read your word. Get up. Eat the word. Get up. Eat. When you feel depressed, get up. Eat. After that day has passed, get up. Eat. And it says this, and drink the jar of water. John 7:37. Jesus says this, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet entered his glory. But now where we are, Jesus has entered his glory, and we have now been given the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ. And at that moment, he says, get up. You can't travel out of the valley of depression without God's word and God's Spirit. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives within me. So when I feel weak, when I feel tired, when I want to isolate myself, when I want to hide, when those thoughts come in, I may not have strength to fight it on my own, but I got some spiritual strength. I got some food that you know nothing about. I got some water that comes from the Spirit of God. I need to get up, I need to eat, and I need to drink. That's the word of the Lord for you today. Get up, eat, drink. Get up, eat, drink, get up, eat, drink, keep showing up, get up, eat, drink, get up, eat, drink. It may be a journey, it may be a travel, but if you can keep getting up, if you can make it like you did today, if you can open up your word, if you can listen to some worship, if you can praise God, not just on the mountaintops, but in the valley, if you can get up, if you can eat, and you can drink, God will give you the energy and the motivation you need to get out of this depression. Don't lose heart. You have a purpose. You are a masterpiece, and God is bringing you out today. Start now. Get up. Eat. Drink. Eat. Drink. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now. as we begin to travel, Lord, I pray for anyone who feels weak and tired, that they have no energy. If you're here today, you say, Sean, that's me. I need to get up, eat, and drink. I've battled depression for too long. It's a black cloud. I feel like there's nothing I can see, no clarity, but your words have spoken to me. But right now, you need to get up, eat, and drink. If you're here today, don't wait. It's time to get up, eat, and drink. If that's you, could you lift up your hand? We're going to pray for you. Come on, let's lift up those hands and say, Sean, I need prayer. I need the Spirit of God in my life. I need His Word in my life. This depression, I want to conquer in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, keep those hands up. We got hands going up. If you say, Sean, I'm battling depression, it's time to get out of isolation. Come on, let's admit it right now. This is the time I've been depressed. That black cloud is gone. Yeah, keep that hand up. Praise God. Keep those hands up. Lord, you see them where they are. I pray right now as they get up that they would eat the word, that they would have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. When they are weak, give them strength. When they don't know what to say, I pray they would run to your word. I pray that they would stop believing the lies of the enemy. I pray, Father God, that they would not leave the purpose of God that He'll have on their life. I pray in Jesus' name that they wouldn't isolate themselves, but they would get up, they would eat, and they would drink, and the Spirit of the living God would come into their situation and give them strength right now as they begin to travel out of the valley of depression. It may take time. It may be tough, but keep giving them the energy, Lord. Keep giving them the strength, Lord. We can't do this by might nor by power, but by the Lord's Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We will not quit. We will not give up. Depression has ruined too many lives for the church to be silent about it. Today, we have broken that silence and the enemy has been defeated, and we will rise victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're victorious. Eyes closed if you're here. Say, Sean, I've never made a decision to follow Christ. You can't have that bread and you can't have that water without first coming to Christ. He says, come to me and I will give you water. Living water. Sean, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to see my past completely erased? What do I need to do to find peace in Christ? He says, just receive the gift that Jesus has given you. He did the work. You just have to have faith in the work by believing your heart and confessing with your mouth. Nothing you can do can get you right with God. It's believing and receiving the gift. But if you need that bread, if you need that water, if you have never followed Christ, you don't have it right now, and you need it. That's the most important thing. It saves you from hell and puts you into eternity with Christ, and you are now a child of God, and He gives you a purpose to live on this earth. With eyes closed, church, we're all going to pray this, but if you're going to pray this and you've never found Christ, you've never made a decision to believe in Christ, we're going to pray this as a church, but you're going to mean it with everything you have today. So church, say, Father, thank you for saying, Jesus, the bread of life. Thank you for the Spirit of God, my living water. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I don't deserve it, but I'm going to receive it today. I choose you today, Jesus. I choose your life over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we dismiss, this is what we're going to do. If you want to open up your eyes, we've already seen victory. We've already seen freedom. I know if you begin to apply these things, watch the podcast and get this again. Keep listening to it so you can keep writing these things down. But if you pray that prayer to make Jesus number one in your life and you've never done that, we want to celebrate with you. And we ask everyone to do this. We've seen, there was 5 in the first experience who made this decision just today. So if you want to join those 5, if you want to join us, at the count of 3, says, Sean, I prayed that prayer. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I believed in Him. At the count of 3, you're going to lift up your hand. This is what we're going to do. We're going to clap and we're going to celebrate you. We're not going to look at you funny. We just wanted to make it right now in front of everybody. I did this. So at the count of 3, I want you to lift up your hand and say, I made a decision today. Because now your whole life has changed. The old is gone. The new has come. 1, Jesus loves you. 2, He died and rose again. 3, if you prayed that, thank you. Throw that hand. Don't be hesitant. Throw that hand up. Anybody else says, I prayed that prayer today. We have one right here. Thank you. Come on, let's celebrate Him. Anybody else in the room said, I need the bread. I need the water right here. We have a gift for you. Come on, church. Let's give God praise one more time. Brand new light. On those bags, there's a card. Please take that to the hub. They're going to get you some tools.
that you need, but you made the best decision of your life. And for the rest of you, our travel out of the valley of depression has started. Don't miss the next 2 weeks. I know God's doing something special in this series. Find someone dealing with depression and get them here. We're going to talk about medication, the struggle. We're going to get as deep into this as we can so we can find freedom in Christ. Were you guys blessed today? You thankful for being here? All right, we love you guys. Go ahead and go look like Jesus. Have an awesome week. Drive safe.